Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 16th day of September 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities. He's in New Market, Indiana. A bit later in the program, we'll hear about the agricultural weather forecast from Don Day at Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. And along the way today, I'll tell you all about tomorrow evening's event in Harrisburg, Illinois. And one will be hosting in Normal, Illinois, the 24th day of November. That's the Monday prior to Thanksgiving. It's one to put on your calendar right now, and actually to go visit our website at willag.org and purchase your ticket. We call this one our Farm Assets Conference. More on that as we make our way through this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, let's check now the numbers as they finished up in Chicago for this Tuesday afternoon. Futures in the corn pit for the day finished the December contract at $3.43¾. That was up 0.75¢ for the afternoon. The March futures up a half at $3.55¼, and May at $3.64¼, 0.75¢ higher. July at $3.71¼, up 0.75¢, and December $3.90 finished a penny higher for the day. Next year's March at $3.99. That for 2016, up 0.25¢. So complex nearby beans, $9.80¾, down 8¾. January, 8¼ lower, $9.89¼. The final trade on the day, the March at $9.97, down 7¼. And the May settlement price at $10.04¾, down 6½¢. July at $10.10½, down 5¾. And November of 2015 at $9.93½, down 4¼ for the day. The bean meal finished 50 cents lower on the afternoon at $3.38.30. The bean oil at $32.81, down 46 cents. Live cattle futures finished the October contract at $156.17½, down 17½. December at $158.80, down 22½¢. Feeder cattle at $229.50 were up 30 cents for the day. And lean hogs on the afternoon finished the nearby October at $106.92½. That's up 85 cents for this Tuesday afternoon. You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. You may find us online at willag.org.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
Let's check the outside markets at this hour. Futures are trading in the energy segment. Crude oil futures at $1.86 higher, $94.78. The current trade, November at $93.74, up $1.75. Heating oil or diesel fuel on the day at $2.74¼, a penny and 0.4¢ higher, November $2.76¼, up a penny and 0.5¢ or 0.5¢ for the afternoon. RBOB gasoline at $2.55¼, to 2¼¢ higher, and natural gas on the day at $3.99¢, that's up 0.6¢. Ethanol futures at $1.84¼, up 2¾¢. Checking the checking the Dow Jones Industrial Average now at 17,149, 121 points higher. Gold at $1,236, $2.25 higher. And the dollar index trading at 84.225, down 0.173. That, of course, on a delayed quote. Here's what the weather forecast looks like from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area. Sunny skies and 66 degrees on a calm wind for the afternoon. Mostly clear this evening, a low of 46. Wednesday, sunny and 69. Wednesday night, clear and 48. Calm winds turning to the east-northeast around 6 miles an hour after midnight on Wednesday evening. And then sunny skies on 72. Thursday, mostly clear and 51 on the evening. And sunny skies on Friday with a high near 75 degrees. Friday night, clear and 59. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of this half hour.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC, providing nationwide land auctions, farmland sales and management, and financial advice for agribusiness. Information on upcoming land auctions and offerings can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on a Tuesday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. It is the 16th day of September. On the phone line is Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
What can you tell me about the marketplace and how the trade went for the day?
Well, you know, very, very early in the morning, before a lot of us got up, the FSA decided to dump their new numbers, and that, of course, caused a little rally first thing early this morning. And that lasted through the break, and then it sort of fizzled. And the corn come back and actually closed a little bit better. But all in all, I think that when the numbers were massaged a lot and looked at, the yields that we continue to hear, and the size of the carryout that's already there, even if being reduced, still says we're going to have a lot of grain this fall.
What did the trade make of those numbers? They apparently were, and I think it's a bit confusing when the FSA numbers come out, because depending on who you watch, there may have been more acres or fewer acres, or it was an interesting watch.
You know, there was more acres than was reported in August. If we looked at the corn there in August, there was 83.3 million acres. There was 84.8 this time. That implies on the percentages of what the USDA numbers are generally, how they figure that way, about 89.5 million acres compared to the 91.6 that the USDA has been using. So, you know, that could be as much as a 360 million bushel turnaround or reduction in the carryout, if they leave the yield the same and everything else along the way, and that does actually come to fruition. You know, the beans, they were at 80.8 compared to the 79.2 in August, and basically when we figure the percentage there that generally comes back in, the USDA was 84.8 last month, and of course this would imply like an 83.7. So, you know, it could be a million acres in the beans and 2 million acres in the corn. But, boy, when we keep hearing the yields we're hearing on these, we think the next report might have some bigger yield numbers.
Yeah, of course, the trade discounted the numbers fairly quickly, and we don't have a lot of experience with the FSA numbers and the total numbers of available acres and how quickly they get put into the system at this time. And, oh, I suppose the trade looks at them and watches them and then dismisses them fairly quickly, and that's what you've told me for the day. And really, it's all about corn yields at this point. What have you been hearing from disparate parts of the Corn Belt, down south, out west, and in your area?
Well, you know, of course, this last few days we had been a little too wet, and we looked for people to get back in the field late this afternoon or tomorrow. But the yields are continuing to hold up, you know, better than they've ever been in most fields. They're either at the highest they've made or 20 bushel better than they've ever made for that field as far as the corn goes. We haven't seen enough beans done over here, but most of them seem to be 60 and above, pushing 70 bushel on what the early beans we've done. So the yields so far look like they're going to be tremendous. We just don't know if they'll hold up when we get into a broader spectrum.
When you look at this year and then at the new crop for 2015, corn and soybeans, are you of a mind, as many of the traders we have talked with, that producers should be considering, if not sales, at least protecting current price levels?
Yes, I think we sold some of the November beans for $15 when they got over $10 this morning, and we did sell, you know, looking out there, some of the $3.92 where we got some of the Dease corn for next year sold.
So you are making those sales. Are producers easily convinced of that? I wouldn't think
they're,
so.
They're easier convinced than they were to make sales for this year's crop.
Well, that actually, I could believe that. I suppose looking forward, they might be figuring forward where they stand, and I suppose that might be easier. What do you think we'll be doing from now until we get the October number? Because the October numbers for the crop production reports will be really the handle, and I suppose the big question is, will USDA increase the size of the corn crop one more time?
Well, I think we're sort of in the trading range now. I think, you know, basically it's been established over the last, the lows that we have in now and whatever, until we can get probably another, a good week of good some yields coming in. If they continue to stay large, well, we might take the bottom out. But I think we're caught in a trading range in both corn and beans for the time period now, Todd.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us today, Wayne.
All right. Thanks, Todd.
You too. Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, and he joins us on this Tuesday afternoon to talk about the agricultural commodity markets.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
A couple of quick notes. Tomorrow evening, Wednesday night, I'll be in Harrisburg, Illinois. That's a 200-mile ride south from here in Urbana-Champaign by about 6 to 6:30. You're invited to Morello's Pizza there by Farm Credit Illinois. They'll host our event, and we'll discuss the Arkin PLC decision along with taking a look at the marketplace. That's tomorrow evening, starting about the 6 o'clock hour at Morello's Pizza in Harrisburg, Illinois. You're invited. Please do just come on out if you have the opportunity. Later in the fall, in November, in fact, the week of Thanksgiving, on that Monday, November the 24th, we'll be hosting our first annual Will Ag Farm Assets Conference. It's much like our all-day Ag Outlook, except that we'll take a more complete look at farm assets like the value of land, crop insurance, and of course the farm programs, that with the University of Illinois professionals. 12 of our regular on-air analysts will be there. It's a $25 event that you can sign up for right now on our website at willag.org. Don't wait. Tickets will be fairly limited for this event. It'll be in Normal, Illinois, on the Illinois State University campus, the Marriott Hotel. $25 if you'd like to come to our first annual Farm Assets Conference. It'll run from about 11:15 in the morning to 5 p.m. in the evening, so plenty of time to get to the event. And then, of course, the following day, if you're interested in sticking around for the Commodities Conference, that's the association conference put on by the folks like the Corn Growers and the Soybean Association, the Illinois Beef Association, the dairy producers, the pork producers, the wheat association in the state of Illinois, is on Tuesday. So it's a two-day event at the same hotel, two different conferences. But frankly, it's a really good deal if you'd like to hit both of them. Start out with our event on Monday, the Farm Assets Conference, sponsored by willag.org. And then stay for the Commodities Conference on Tuesday. I hope that you can find all that information either from the Corn Growers or other associations, or just visit our website and sign up today for the Farm Assets Conference at willag.org. Tickets are on sale now. Now, up next, yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It showed that 82% of the corn crop had dented as of the 14th day of September across the United States. That compares to the rolling five-year average of 85%. 27% of the corn crop is mature, compares to 39% on the rolling five-year average. 4% of the corn has been harvested now. The rolling five-year average is a little ahead of that at 9%. The condition of the crop said to be 52% good, 22% excellent. That's the same as the previous week. 24% of the soybeans around the nation are dropping their leaves, compared to 32% on the rolling five-year average, and 53% of the crop is said to be in good condition, 19% excellent. Those two numbers are the same as the previous week. Now, here are the statisticians from Indiana, Illinois, and Iowa with updates from their regions.
This is Brian Gallagher, Agricultural Statistician for USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report. Heavy rain slowed field work to only 2.6 days suitable across Iowa during the week. Iowa experienced cold temperatures this week with a low of 31 degrees at Mason City and Stanley on Saturday, and a high of 85 degrees at Sydney on Monday. Temperatures for the week averaged 9 degrees below normal. Light to moderate rain fell across all but far southwestern Iowa on Monday, with statewide light rain from Thursday night into Friday morning. Also of note were torrential rains over portions of the southern half of the state between Tuesday morning and Wednesday morning. Total rain for the week varied from 0.38 inches at Estherville to 5.65 inches at Hartford. Average precipitation for the week was 2.26 inches, almost 1.5 inches more than normal. Increasing 3 percentage points from last week, topsoil moisture levels rated 96% adequate to surplus, while subsoil moisture also increased 5 points to 91%. Iowa's corn crop reached 83% in or beyond the dense stage, 5 days ahead of the previous year, but 4 days behind the five-year average. 19% of the corn acreage was mature, 3 days ahead of last year, but 11 days behind normal. Unchanged from the previous 2 weeks, 76% of the corn acreage was reported in good to excellent condition. Leaves returning color on 51% of the soybean crop, 4 days ahead of the previous year, but 4 days behind average. 74% of the soybean acreage was in good to excellent condition. This is Brian Gallagher reporting from the USDA NASS Iowa Field Office.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois, with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Cool weather came through Illinois last week, and so did significant rainfall across the state. Temperatures around the state averaged more than 9 degrees below normal, and rainfall averaged 2.3 inches for the week, almost 1.5 inches above the norm. Topsoil moisture supplies were rated as 74% adequate and 19% surplus, with only 7% rated as short or very short. Corn harvest inched forward and is now 2% finished, 1 point ahead of last year, but 11 points behind the 5-year average. 37% of acres are mature, compared to 22% 1 year ago and 50% normally. The condition of the crop was rated as 4% very poor or poor, 14% fair, and 82% good or excellent. For soybeans, 20% of acres are dropping leaves, compared to 12% last year and 25% normally. 57% of acres are turning color, compared to 39% 1 year ago and 54% for the 5-year average. 6% of acres are rated as very poor or poor, 18% are rated fair, and 76% are good or excellent. For other crops, 36% of sorghum acres are mature, and 90% of the third cutting of alfalfa hay is complete. As harvest activities begin to accelerate, let's all please be careful on small country roads. Lots of big equipment will be moving around the state very soon. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Jessica Klatt with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service with the Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending September 14, 2014. Cool temperatures in conjunction with the increased rainfall have slowed overall progress during the week. The lowest recorded temperature for the week was 38 degrees, the highest 85 degrees. The statewide average temperature for the week was 61.5 degrees, which is 6.9 degrees below normal. Recorded precipitation ranged from 0.35 to 3.70 inches, with a statewide average of 1.58 inches. Corn denting is 79% complete, compared to 80% last year and 82% 5-year average. Corn is 29% mature versus 20% last year and 38% 5-year average. Regionally, corn matured is 24% in the north, 32% in central, and 34% in the south. The corn crop remains in good to excellent condition, but some farmers worry that continued rainfall could delay and complicate harvest. Soybeans dropping leaves was 33% this week compared to 36% last year and 41% 5-year average. Soybean progress has slowed, but the overall condition remains steady. Corn silage continues to be harvested, while tomato and potato harvest is wrapping up. While farmers wait for the fields to dry out, they have continued to clean bins, prepare harvest equipment, and mow roadsides. This is Jessica Klatt reporting.
Our thanks, of course, go to the statisticians from Indiana, Illinois, and Iowa for their weekly updates of crop progress in their regions. Now, up next, just a reminder that you should visit our website at willag.org, and there you'll find all kinds of information. I have posted this week into the news section an article written by Gary Schnittke on cash rents, and it's got some really good information on cash rents across the state of Illinois and by county across the entire Midwest. If you scroll far enough down, you'll find a photo that you can blow up just a bit if you double-click on it and see by county what cash rents look like across the Corn Belt. It's pretty easy to see where the best corn-producing counties in the Midwest might be. That's all at willag.org, willag.org. Now, speaking of Gary Schnittke, he was supposed to be with me tomorrow night in Harrisburg, but he and Jonathan Kappas have been called by the FSA to Minneapolis to do a training for their employees on the new farm bill. That means I'll be presenting tomorrow night in Harrisburg the farm bill ARC PLC decision. But no worries, if everything works right, we'll have Gary with us via a Skype conversation. That's tomorrow night in Harrisburg, starting at about 6 o'clock at Morello's Pizza. You're invited to come if you'd like. Please do visit us at Morello's Pizza tomorrow evening, Wednesday, about 6 o'clock in Harrisburg for our next ARC PLC decision. We'll also have along with us for that night Merrill Crowley of Crowley Commodities to take up the marketplace tomorrow night in Harrisburg. Up next, since we've been talking about southern Illinois, where soft red winter wheat can be king, especially if you happen to live in Washington County, wheat producers in those Illinois counties sometimes have some difficulty with heads cap. Like this past harvest season, it's a really costly and toxic disease. I'll have more on what a farmer might do in order to prevent the disease next year. The number one thing a farmer can do to prevent head scab in a winter wheat crop is to choose a good hybrid, says University of Illinois Extension plant pathologist Carl Bradley.
There are some varieties that have higher levels of resistance. And those are really the ones, I think, for our climate here in Illinois, our risk is always there for scab. And so we really need to be picking the varieties that have the highest level of resistance.
The wheat breeder at Illinois, Fred Kolb, screens soft red winter wheat hybrids every year for scab resistance, says Bradley.
And all that information is up on the web, along with the variety at the U of I variety testing site. So if you just Googled Illinois variety testing, it's going to take you to that page. You can go to the small grains page and you can find the information about scab. So that's the number one thing. Another thing that it's maybe a little more, it's a little tougher for farmers to do, especially in southern Illinois, but we do see that the risk is a little higher when you're following corn. Now, the reason it's a little tougher for farmers in southern Illinois, because in parts of southern Illinois, the corn comes off first, and so it makes it a little easier to get your wheat planted timely to follow corn. So we have seen that the risk is a little bit higher after corn. However, that risk can be lowered if you really seek out those resistant varieties.
Corn stubble is the culprit in this case. It carries the same fungus that creates head scab in wheat. So when a farmer sows wheat after corn, the fungus is already in the field. It sets the stage for a head scab battle.
And the other piece of management is fungicides. We have some effective fungicides. However, one of the things that we've seen is you really can't fix a very susceptible variety. And I know a lot of farmers did spray this year because there was some risk out there, and that was a good management practice to do. But unfortunately, in an environment that's very favorable for this fungus, you are not able to fix a very susceptible variety. So a fungicide is only going to give you about 60% control. But if you combine the fungicide with a resistant variety, then you can get up to about 80, maybe even 90% control. And we've seen that in some of our research studies that we've done here, as well as other researchers in other states.
Again, the number one thing to do to avoid a head scab problem next spring is to choose and sow a scab-resistant wheat variety. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Back in just 2 minutes with weather.
Learnert Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Learnert Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgro on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Learnert Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
It's National Cinnamon Raisin Bread Day. It's also Feast of St. Cornelius, patron of cattle and domestic animals. On this day in agricultural history in 1630, the town of Shawmut changed its name to Boston. If not for this, we might be eating Shawmut baked beans and Shawmut cream pie. In 1736, Daniel Gabriel Fahrenheit died. Fahrenheit, a German physicist, invented the Fahrenheit temperature scale thermometer. It was the first thermometer to use mercury instead of alcohol, which also extended the temperature range of thermometers. He also discovered that each liquid has a different boiling point that would change with atmospheric pressure. In 1903, Luther Crowell died, an American inventor. He obtained over 280 patents, and perhaps is best known for designing a machine to make the square-bottom paper bag still in use today. And in 1919, Marvin P. Middlemark was born. He invented the TV rabbit ear antenna, and among other minor inventions, a water-powered potato peeler. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for agricultural information on WILL comes from Busey. With over 145 years of agribusiness experience, Busey's team is committed to providing resources to today's producers. Busey, your dream, our promise.
This is the closing market report on a Tuesday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us is Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Don, we've had some weather, some rainfall, but there's been some sunshine, and hopefully producers will be able to get into the field. They'd like to know for how many days and then how much more rainfall they'll have to deal with by the time we get to the weekend.
I would say that the chances of being able to get some work done in fields are pretty good. Now, we are going to have some systems coming through later in the week and towards the weekend, one in particular we need to watch. But at least for today and as we head into tomorrow and as we get on into Thursday and Friday, most of the action will be in the far northern western areas, Minnesota, the Dakotas, maybe western Iowa getting into a little bit of shower activity. We're going to see the northern Great Lakes see some showers and thunderstorms as we get into Saturday. Some of that activity is going to move into the Corn Belt Saturday afternoon and into Sunday. So between now and Friday, not a lot going on. The weekend is going to bring a little bit of shower and thunderstorm activity with a cool front, and that's going to cool things off a little bit as well. But it's a fast-moving system, so I'm not expecting the rainfall amounts to be too heavy. The other one thing we're watching is a small possibility, but it's there, that a piece of the hurricane affecting western areas of Mexico right now could get up into some of the southern areas, Oklahoma, Kansas, maybe Missouri, as the hurricane breaks apart and moves into the lower 48.
All right. Well, that sounds like it won't be too terribly bad for crop conditions and for harvesting throughout the Midwest. Turn your attention to South America, where I see Sao Paulo is headed to a high today of 72 degrees. Brasilia, 90 degrees. They're probably starting to think about their planting season. How is it set up for them?
Well, as you mentioned, with temperatures, many areas of that continent are experiencing a pretty good warm-up, so folks are getting antsy. Precipitation-wise, not a lot of precipitation to speak of. So in terms of being able to add to the soil moisture, I don't see a lot of prospects for that. And right now, in many areas of Brazil and many areas of Argentina, soil moisture a little bit dry in a few pockets, although what we're expecting here in the short term is not going to be able to help that much.
Anything else that we ought to check in on around the planet, for instance, Australia and or China?
Well, if we go to look at Australia, they're looking at a weather pattern that's a lot like South America. They're warming up, not as cold as they've been at times during this winter season that they saw. Looks like the eastern growing areas of Australia have the best chance of picking up a bit of rain. The central and western areas a bit drier.
All right, thanks so much.
Thank you.
That is Don Day. He's with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. This has been the Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can find us online at willag.org. That's WILLAG.org.